Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question at pastorstephendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's pastorstephendbc@gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to be looking at three Bible questions, so go ahead and grab your Bibles and let's get started. Our first question is, I have a lot of problems with worry and anxiety. Do you have any suggestions to help? Thanks. This is a common question that comes up and something that we're all familiar with, I'm sure, to various points in our life. There was a study done recently that states that approximately 85% of the things that we worry about actually never happen. The study is interesting. It shows a lot of variations with the statistics. But basically what you come away with is the large majority of things that we worry about actually never happen. They just simply don't occur. But for the believer, we of course know that the Bible would instruct us to not worry, but in our two natures, if you will, we still tend to have those types of things where we worry about various things. So the question, of course, is, though, do you have any suggestions to help? And the place for us to turn, though, is to God's Word. God knows that we are going to have a propensity to worry and have anxiety, but His Word, of course, reveals some different truths that can help us. So I'm going to give a few passages that you can use in the future if you ever run into a problem with worry or anxiety. The first one is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. There Jesus gives some instructions, and I won't read all of it, but he begins with verse 25 of chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he gives the illustration about how birds are taken care of and those sorts of things. And of course includes the probably well-known statement that in verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to one's life? Charles Ryrie says, worry cannot add to one's lifespan. Indeed, it can shorten it, which actually has been proven to be true in many cases. So one place we can turn is Matthew 6, 25 through 34. We also can turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, in times of worry. There, Paul gives the instruction to not only not worry, but to go to the Lord in prayer. I believe this is a time where, when we have worry and anxiety, it's a time to go to the Lord in prayer and to give those anxieties and things to Him. But it's curious that Paul includes in Philippians 4:6 that we are supposed to take all of the very difficulties of life to Him, but you'll notice in verse 6 as we read it, it's coupled with thanksgiving. When we are thankful and grateful in our hearts, of course, it's much more difficult to worry. So we need to make sure that we do that. So two passages already. A third one you can turn to is 2 Corinthians 9:8, and then John 14:27. So that's 2 Corinthians 9:8, John 14:27. But then I want to give this final one, and it's from the Old Testament, and it's from the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah 26 in verse 3, Now I'm going to read from the New King James translation, which renders this really well. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. In many ways, this really sums it all up. We stay in complete or perfect peace when we keep our minds on the Lord, and we also trust in him. So if we are not constantly with the Lord before us and not staying with him, abiding in him, as we would say in the New Testament, then it's less likely that we will be at perfect peace. But when we are abiding in Christ, we will remain in peace. And we also have to trust in the Lord. We have to trust that he will bring about his purposes and his plans. And all things are, of course, work together for good. And we have to learn to trust in the Lord. So the question is there any help or hope for worry and anxiety? And this is obviously a difficult subject. But one of the things we remember is that, of course, not all things that we worry about will come to pass. But, of course, we in our sin nature, sometimes we are still prone to worry. And so I think the solution to that is to turn to the promise of God's Word. We turn to God's Word to give us help in those areas, those passages that I gave you. But as I said in Isaiah 26:3, we must remain close with Christ and his word, and we trust in him to bring about promises. When we trust in the Lord for the future, we're less likely to worry in the present. So hopefully that'll help in when those situations happen. Now for our second question, this is going to be a Bible trivia question. I know many of you have told me you enjoy the trivia questions. Sometimes they're trick questions, but not in this case. This episode's question is, after Noah built the ark, for how many days and nights did it rain? So again, after Noah built the ark, for how many days and nights did it rain? Well, in order to answer this question, we'll need to turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 7. Now, once we get to Genesis chapter 7, in verse 12, we have our answer. So Genesis 7, verse 12 gives us the answer. It says, the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So the question is answered in, after Noah built the ark, for how many days and nights did it rain? And we can confirm that it's 40 days and 40 nights. In fact, if you go up to verse 4 of chapter 7, there we read, for after 7 more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days, 40 nights. And so there you see where, if you will, verse 12 is the fulfillment of it. So God says it is going to occur, and of course it occurs. So the answer to the question is 40 days and 40 nights. So we can always and always will find God's word to be true. So that is the trivia question for this week, and that's a good way to remember some of these facts, if you will, about the Bible. And now for our final question for this episode. Pastor, are Jesus and the Father's throne the same? Are they one throne or are there two thrones? Now this question comes up from the previous podcast where we spoke of Jesus, where is he at this present time? In that podcast, we saw where Jesus, after his ascension, he is and presently is in his role as great high priest. The question is basically asking, is the throne that the Father is seated on, that Jesus ascended to, is it the same throne in which Jesus is reigning from? Or will reign from, for that matter? This is a really good question, and in order to answer it, we'll first need to turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. So turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. Now, chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation are seven letters that Christ wrote to seven literal churches that existed in Asia Minor. This is the last of the seven, the Laodicean church. I'm just going to read verse 21, and it helps us get the majority of the question answered. And essentially, again, the question is, does Jesus have his own throne that is separate from the one the Father is seated on? Two thrones, in other words. So let's read Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So in many ways, you have the answer right there. So when we look at this, Jesus, of course, is speaking to the Laodicean church, but I'll draw your attention just to the way the grammar is. Let's slow down and read it. I will grant to him, those who, of course, the him is the overcomers. So the overcomers one day will sit down with Jesus on, he calls it, my throne. And then the rest of the verse, it says, my Father's throne or his throne. So clearly you have my throne, meaning Jesus, his throne, meaning the Father's throne. I'm going to read this quote to you from Hubbard's commentary on the book of Revelation. He says regarding Revelation 3:21, quote, my throne is different from his throne, that is the Father's throne in heaven. The throne of Christ is the earthly millennial throne of David. And that's a really good way of saying that. Again, my throne is different from his throne, that is the Father's throne in heaven. The throne of Christ is the earthly millennial throne of David. And the quote's helpful because of a couple of reasons. First, it distinguishes my throne, meaning Jesus' throne, from the Father's throne. So you have the Father's throne and the Son's throne. But you'll also notice in the quote that the Father's throne is in heaven, whereas Christ's throne is on the earth. And he's here referencing Hubbard, that is, to the Davidic throne, the Davidic covenant. We'll also get more details on this, or at least a similar phrasing of this, in the Olivet Discourse. So if you turn to Matthew 25 and verse 31, you'll see the same type of answer there. So in Matthew 25 in verse 31, we read, of course, Jesus speaking, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then, so that's future tense, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And so there you see very clearly there, again, the distinction there. Jesus has a particular throne, and the throne is an earthly throne, whereas the Father's throne is in heaven. And from the earthly throne, if you just continue reading Matthew verse 32, for instance, they're all going to be gathered there, and we see the separation of the sheep and goats and so forth. So very clearly there, the answer to the question is, and again, let's read the question, is basically, are Jesus and the Father's throne the same? And the answer would be no. The Father has a throne that is in heaven. Jesus is seated there, if you will, as great high priest. But Jesus also has a future, if you will, earthly throne, speaking there of the Davidic throne, the throne of David. We saw that in Revelation 3:21 and also Matthew 25:31. One of the interesting things about this as well is that the Lord is very gracious in speaking of Revelation 3:21 and giving a promise to those overcomers at Laodicea to sit with him one day in his future millennial reign, his future kingdom. I'm going to read to you a quote. It's from Henry Morris's commentary on Revelation, the Revelation Record by Henry Morris. He says on this verse, quote, this is an amazing manifestation of grace. One who has about to be spewed out of his mouth is invited to sit with him on his throne. When the Lord Jesus was faithful unto death, he was raised from the dead and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See Hebrews 12:2. In like manner, those who are his will reign with him when his own throne is set up. First, his millennial throne, see Revelation 20, verse 4. And finally, his eternal throne, see Revelation 22, 3 and 4. The Lord is very gracious, as Morris says, to give those who are overcomers, even those who fall short of his glory, to be enthroned with him, to judge and to rule and so forth in the future millennial kingdom. So the answer to the question is that there are two thrones in Scripture: the Father's throne, which is in heaven, and the Son's throne, which is the future millennial kingdom, the Davidic throne, if you will. Well, this concludes today's episode, episode 14. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in for our next episode. Until then, may God bless.